Living Show on WMNF 88.5 Tampa, where every Monday at 11, we bring you a conversation with local experts on sustainable issues. Your hosts today are myself, Kenny Coogan, and the wonderful Annie Ellis.
Hello, Kenny.
Hi, Annie. Answering your calls is Clark, and working the boards is Patty. Today, we are talking about Florida Farm Finder with creator Jillian Childs. Stay tuned in to learn how she is bridging the gap between small farms and their clientele as we promote a balance of people, profit, and planet.
And hi, I'm Annie, and I want to talk about Jillian a little bit. Jillian Childs, she's a wife, a mother of three boys, a backyard food forester. She raises rabbits and is a coffee enthusiast. That's interesting. She uses her social media and event promotion experience to help other small farms find their footing, get their voices out there, and develop their brands. Welcome to the program, Jillian.
Well, thank you so much, Annie. I'm so excited to talk with you guys today.
Yeah, we're excited to have you online. This is interesting. I've been following you for a while myself, actually. Yeah, it's a good thing. You're doing good.
Oh, I love to hear that. Thank you so much.
I have a few questions here for you. And the first one I'm going to start out with is Florida Farm Finder is a social media agency Facebook page. And Florida Farm Finder dash small farm, small Florida farms are kind of a big deal, which I really like, is a Facebook group with over 24,000 members. What's the difference between the page and the group, Jillian?
Sure, absolutely. So the group is where all the magic happens. That is where our community is based. So you can use our group to connect with small farms from all over the state. You can connect with their owners and their staff by joining our group and searching through our content. The page is more of a mouthpiece for important information. I also share job posts that I come across when I am doing my research for content for the big deal. So I share that to the page, but it's just a mouthpiece.
And then how did you start this all up? What happened? How'd that go?
Sure. Well, I mean, I'm sure everyone remembers March of 2020 was a little bit crazy.
A little.
We all started to slide in a new direction. And in the midst of all of the calamity at the time, I was sitting on Facebook and those pictures of all the early squash and crops being tilled under were everywhere. It was just all over my feed. And I was really struck by how many comments there were underneath those pictures where people couldn't find all of those goods. And they were in line at food banks because the grocery stores were struggling to stay stocked. Mm-hmm. And they just couldn't, there was no connection between the food that was being buried into the ground and the people who needed it so desperately. And I had to do something. I created a Facebook group to put those two ends of the transaction a little bit closer together. Mm-hmm. And I scrolled Facebook for hours and hours, hundreds of hours at this point, to find farm pages all over the state, shared them into our group, and now you can search our content using our search box by county to follow all of the pages in your area.
Okay, so that was a question I had. So search box by county, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
And so my next question is, how does the group work and what's the purposes? You said that, but go ahead and elaborate a little bit.
Sure, absolutely. So when you search Facebook, especially recently with some of the new changes that they've made, local business information is getting a serious push, especially over the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. So when you search our content, the more businesses that you are exposed to, Facebook's algorithms will push more of that content toward you. So even when you join our group to find stuff that we have found, you can then, using that algorithm, bring us more information about farms that you know. Our purpose is to connect people and farmers, consumers and farmers. We can connect farmers with other farmers. We can create brand collaboration. We can encourage the community as a whole to work together. Mm-hmm. That is, in a nutshell, that's basically what we're trying mm-hmm. to do.
Yeah.
And just be as loud as possible for in support of Florida's agriculture, because it is such an amazing part of our history and such an amazing part of our state. And I think that there are so many opportunities for people to find small farms and reach out to their neighbors and invest in their neighbors. And I think our group really strives to help people do that.
Yeah, that's really great, you know, because they're all out there. It's just that you're the in-between of putting them together. It's just wonderful that you saw that need and stepped up to handle it.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Reintroduction, I need to throw that out there. I'm Annie Ellis, and you are listening to the Sustainable Living Show on WMNF 88.5 Tampa. Today's guest is Jillian Childs. I really want to say Julia Childs so many times. The creator of Florida Farm Finder. We're talking about bridging the gap between small farms and consumers. If you have a question for her, please give us a call at 813-239-9663 or send us an email at dj@wmnf.org and we'll read it on air.
Hi, Jillian. This is Kenny. Can you tell listeners how can businesses join your Florida Farm Finder?
Hi, Kenny. Good to hear from you. So businesses are encouraged to post as soon as you join. If you are a business owner, a small business owner, a maker, a baker, a farmer, a crafter, you are welcome to join our community and post right now if you need to. There are a series of tips and tricks posts in the announcements of the group, so you can learn about the best ways to share your content with our audience. And then once you've joined our group and been welcomed into the community, you're also welcome to join our separate business owners group, which is called Brand Building by Florida Farm Finder. And that's kind of where we keep all of the farmers and small business owners in one group where we can network a little bit better and get to know each other and create collaborations and that sort of thing. So we have two opportunities for business owners there.
Okay, so you just said if the farmers need to, so are farmers going to the site, which has 24,000 members, are they going on it to get rid of their surplus produce and livestock, or is it just their normal crops?
Sure, yeah, no, we accept all kinds of posts. We've had everything from, hey, I need to find something specific, hey, I need a piece of farm equipment, hey, I need to find a truck for my product, hey, I need to find a specific product for a collaboration, I need to find a grower, I need help with my crop, I need help with a new crop, I'm looking to expand my crop. If you need bees, you can bring us almost any kind of post. The only thing that I stress is that we are not a real estate group. We're not that kind of farm finder. But if you are a business owner and you have excess crop that you'd like to distribute, if you want to tell us more about your seasonal goods, if it's not quite your season yet, but you're ramping up, if you are expanding on your capital investment, come tell us your story. Tell us anything. Anything you want to bring to us is fine.
Very good. And this is maybe off topic, but this week, literally 7 days ago, I seeded 72 plugs of basil. And
I started
every single
day.
One came up.
Yeah.
And it's not 72 plugs. Each plug has like 10 plants.
Oh, my Lord.
So I am in the basil business now.
So exciting.
We'll start calling you pesto.
Well, I might want to keep them all.
Yeah,
so predict. Yeah. And I have all of them. I have the purple one, the lemon, the lime, holy basil. I'm very excited.
Genovese.
Yeah, Genovese.
That's my favorite.
Oh, and then lettuce leaf. The ones that is, each leaf is as big as
you can use
lettuce.
Those as a wrap.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, we're off topic. Big time.
No, it's okay.
Well, Jillian was saying about excess, so I imagine, and I hope in a few months I have excess. So the 20, I keep saying 24,000 members because that's a huge number. Mm-hmm. So how did this Facebook group get so large? Like, where did you find all the farmers? And they're not just farmers, it's also people looking for produce. So how did they find your organization?
Sure. You know, honestly, I think the height of the shutdowns really pushed us into overdrive because people were looking for for goods, and food was so not hard to find, but just more difficult than usual. And, you know, people are also expanding their, I want to say they're expanding their reach locally. A lot of people are making investments into local businesses with the, you know, with the new normal that we face. So I think we really have benefited mostly from the word of mouth and people trying to make positive changes in their local economy. But also, you know, if I get one person who is a farmer and they invite five of their farmer friends, or if I get one person who happens to have, you know, a gardening group or a small business network that they share the information with, it's a public group, so we can only expand, you know, we can only get bigger. And right now, I think towards the beginning, we were averaging about 1,000 people a month. So that was...
That are signing up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Joining the group, yep, about 1,000 people a month.
That's incredible.
And it was very, very busy at that point.
Yeah.
It has since tapered just a little bit, but we're still getting lots of new interest with a lot of people making New Year's resolutions and joining us now as they say that they want to make local a better part of their life in 2022. So we're very excited to welcome all of those new members as well.
Now, Annie and I are in Tampa. And Jillian, are you in Riverview?
Or? I am based in Winter Haven.
Winter Haven. And the Florida Farm Finder, that's for the entire state, though.
Oh, yes, yes. We are a statewide resource, yes. There are posts from farms in Pensacola. There are posts from Marcus in Jacksonville. We have posts all the way down to the Keys.
Very good. And we just got an email from Jenna Johnson, and she writes, I was at a meat event, and are you planning anything like that for the future?
Oh, yes. Yes, we have a very quickly growing event calendar in the works. It's still in the works, but already we have two events set for the year. I think the event that she was speaking about was our Meet Florida Meet event in Groveland last year, which was huge. We welcomed over 1,200 vehicles to the parking lot, as far as I know, and then we stopped counting.
So, wow.
We were able to bring together about 60 small farms and businesses and agricultural exhibits to Groveland for the day, and we're looking to repeat that. We have an event in Bartow in the beginning of March, March 5th, is the Central Florida Food Forest Festival. And that is in Scar's Farm in Bartow, 777 Alturas Road. And we are welcoming the community to that event. If you want to learn more about growing your own backyard fruit trees,
okay.
Purchasing that kind of stock for your yard. And we also have another event in the works for the end of April, which is the Bob's Berries Spring Grand Open.
Oh, and Bob's Berries. Love him.
Seventh annual, I think. 7th or 8th. We miscounted somewhere with the pandemic shutdown, but we're...
Who hasn't?
Very
right. I don't know what day it is today. Is it Monday?
River.
Sorry. Thanks, Jillian.
We have more events in the works. We are looking to push more toward the eastern part of the state and north as well. So that's just the beginning. It's barely January.
That is right. I am Kenny Coogan, and you are listening to the Sustainable Living Show on WMNF 88.5 Tampa. Today's guest is Jillian Childs, the creator of Florida Farm Finder. We are talking about bridging the gap between small farms and consumers. If you want to be part of the conversation, give us a call at 813-239-9663 or send us an email at dj@WMNF, and I will read it on air.
Okay. You know, when you are saying something about reducing the waste, that really got my attention because... Yeah, I mean, that's such a big thing. And so that was really what pushed you originally to start this, is you're seeing the waste from the product, and then the farmers are there are losing money like crazy. And so has this program made a huge difference in their lives, the actual farmers? Have they found that connection that they are reducing their waste?
You know, I really hope that I know of some specific posts where we've seen surplus go to good homes, mm-hmm. and we've seen more relationships created so that there is less surplus in general. Like I said, collaborations is our biggest strength. So it's good to see, you know, hey, I have extra crop this weekend. Mm-hmm. Can you meet us out at the street corner? And 24,000 people have the opportunity to engage with that person. So yes, I would definitely say that they are benefiting from the relationships and the community that we build. I know that education and opportunity and expansion for a lot of programs related to composting.
Yes.
And organizations like Fleet Farming are also taking foot. There's been a lot more information about learning about what to do with the goods you bring home and how to eat seasonally so mm-hmm. that we don't have to worry about surplus issues as well. So it's kind of a well-rounded effort toward reducing the mileage put on Florida's agricultural burden.
Yeah, that footprint. So that really makes me think about a lot of things. I'm completely off my paper, off chart. For me, what is the smallest amount of product that you deal with? Kind of what we were talking about earlier with the basil. What is the smallest amount of product that you would deal with? How does that work?
You mean as opposed to in the group?
Or? Yeah, like if like just say I was I had a ton of basil, you know, or a ton of chayote or whatever.
Or six plants.
Yeah, six plants. Well, okay, up to 25. If I had 25 plants, I would think that, you know, somebody would be interested in that. Is that something that works in this way for you as well?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Because you have a lot of something, you're not required to bring a wholesale amount of product into the group. Mm-hmm. Even if you just have one pig that you would like to move, or you're still more welcome to bring your content to us. And honestly, it doesn't even have to be a sales post. I will tell you that some of the top performing posts in our group have nothing to do with selling goods. Our community is mostly impressed by people who share about their business, where we have the opportunity to learn more about the farmer themselves, the methods they use, mm-hmm. and the community that they are building so that we can become a part of that. I will say that those kinds of posts with smiling faces of farmers in front of the crop gets way more traction than someone trying to sell surplus goods.
That's interesting. Yeah. I like that. And, you know, because I do a lot of writing like that, too. And I'm going to jump in. I can tell you that right now.
That's great.
So when you were talking about, like, getting the product, how does that work? With that product, is there a posted pickup location? And are there any delivery services? How does that work?
Sure, yeah. Well, it really depends on the opportunities available to you. But Florida is full of produce. Deliveries, produce co-ops, community-supported agriculture. You can, I'd like to say probably in the last 2 years, I have met probably 100 different
wow.
organizations that are currently working toward expanding produce, fresh Florida produce availability mm-hmm. in the state. Every county has access to something. Mm-hmm. I can say that with full confidence that every county has access to some sort of fresh produce for a local farm. But it's not as much of a, a buy and sell marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
It's more to bring attention to other posts. The best way to make an impact in our group is to share a post from a business page. If you go in under your personal profile and make a post, you will probably get some interaction, but there's no benefit to the business, and you don't get to keep any of the likes that you may bring from sharing content from your page. So we definitely recommend that business owners share their content that way. It's also... It's hard to say what posts benefit the most. You know, I could have someone come in and say, hey, I have 500 finger lime trees that I need to get rid of, and there'll be a big jump on it. But the next week, it might not perform in the same way. It's people are very seasonally fickle.
Yeah. And, you know, people might just be stimulated by what somebody else is interested in, too, I would think. You know, sometimes that happens when you see something, you go, oh, well, I don't have that. I need that for
right.
sure.
Yes, the fear of missing out.
That's true.
Absolutely.
My name's Annie Ellis, and we're listening to, and you are too, I hope, the Sustainable Living Show on WMNF 88.5 Tampa. Today's guest is Jillian Childs, the creator of Florida Farm Finder. We're talking about bridging the gap between small farms and consumers. If you have a question for her, please give us a call at 813-239-9663 or send us an email at dj@wmnf.org and we'll read it on the air.
All right. So, Jillian, we have a couple of messages. One is an email from David Bryant. He says, hi, guys. Great job on the show today. I went to a small farmers market at the American Legion in Seminole Heights, and they had a small produce stand with some good prices. The market had a ton of vendors with products appealing to pets. What does your guest think about selling direct farmer food that is geared to pets?
Well, that's a good question. We do have a significant number of members who push a raw feed diet, so we do have a lot of pet products available, handmade. Produce specifically gets a little bit harder because usually, you know, the pet market is, we have a great fishkin pet product. We have raw, you can order beef bones, that sort of thing from a variety of people. Pet products specifically, probably not a huge opportunity, but you see new things in farmers markets all the time and small businesses pop up with new products that even I am amazed by every day. So there's definitely a market for almost anything at a farmer's market in Florida. And we are very excited when they start to become more locally focused. So I would welcome any kind of small business to a market in Florida.
All right. Sounds good. Mm-hmm. So, Jillian, we have a couple other messages. One is from John Hubley. He wants to know, how can you gear this to be more helpful to citizen farmers?
I think that would
sure.
be like us. Yeah.
Maybe like an urban farmer?
That's what I'm
thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yes, absolutely. Urban farmers are also welcome to post. You don't have to have a number of acres. If you grow like I do on a 100 by 75 foot square plot, you are totally still welcome to post your goods. You don't have to necessarily have an established farm or an LLC or even a tractor. You are more than welcome to post goods no matter how big you are. We have people who grow vertically on, a backyard patio table and still manage to crank out some extras for their neighbors. So with size does not matter. If you grow in the city, if you grow on a boat, if you grow in an apartment, you are still more than welcome to engage with our community.
That's great.
Very good. I'm sorry. We're getting lots of text messages and
That's
emails.
Good.
So, Jillian, are you familiar with a gleaning program?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there are several gleaning organizations in Florida that I've come to know in the last couple of
years. Perfect. So, before I ask the question, can you tell our listeners what a gleaning program is?
Sure. So, gleaning is for the second part of a harvest. When all the good stuff has gone to the commercial lots, a team of volunteers will usually come through and pick through the last bit of harvest and take whatever is acceptable for harvesting food banks and delivering it to the local community. There are several in Florida.
Okay.
It's a huge, exciting part of this conversation for me. I'm sorry.
I feel like I only eat gleaning products.
At my house, I do that. Yeah. So, well, that really reminded me of, with gleaning, that doesn't just mean farms or second part of harvest. That means your orange tree, probably not oranges, but your star fruit tree that's mm-hmm. growing, or, the things that you have so much that you just cannot eat.
Yes.
You can have other people come and pick it, right?
Yes, if you have a tree that you don't like.
Yeah.
People have mango trees. I'm like, I'm never going to eat that many mangoes. Call a gleaning organization and they will come and pick up all of that fruit for you.
Yeah, that's great.
So a text message from our good friend, Bubba. He said he tuned in late, but he just wanted to make sure that Jillian, you talked about gleaning programs because Bubba loves the gleaning concept. And I believe we all do as well.
Yes, Bubba, definitely. So do I.
Less waste.
The St. Vincent Society of Florida is a group that I've become very familiar with the last couple of weeks. And then, the last couple of months. And then just in the last few weeks, I also was introduced to Gleaning for Good, which is, I believe, based in West Palm. But St. Vincent Society goes all over the state. And there are several. It's probably a good idea if I make a post today regarding gleaning organizations that I'm familiar with because I'm getting a lot of questions about it.
Mm-hmm. Great. So we have a text message from Ziggy, and they say, on the plastic issue, Jillian, do you know what ever happened to making plastics from corn stalks, hemp, sugar cane, and stock waste?
Sure. Well, backyard farmer, I'm really not as experienced with the technologies available to them, but I've seen a lot of posts about people shifting towards biofilms and more sustainable solutions. Unfortunately, with the increases in costs that we've seen recently, some of those plans have to be set aside to maintain a better bottom line. But I know that people are very interested in using more sustainable resources for growing in Florida as they, as we work toward improving yield, but also making sure that we are taking the best care of our soil.
Yeah, I wanted to even throw that out there, that they are making a product that you can, the plastic that people are putting under their strawberries and lettuces and odds and ends, they're making it a biodegradable after a certain length of time. So you can get that, which is wonderful.
Yes, big changes are coming.
That's a huge thing.
New availability.
Mm-hmm. Jillian, what do you believe are some of the biggest strengths of the Farm Finder?
Our passion, I think, as a whole, probably the passion of our community and how dedicated we are to supporting small and large farmers all over the state. That's a huge benefit to just the state in itself because we've seen so many new faces pop up and so many businesses that may have been on the brink of, I think I'm going to throw in the towel, and then 2 years later they're thriving. So we're seeing a lot of passion brought back into the search for local goods, which is fantastic, but collaboration is our second strength, bringing people toward businesses that they didn't know about, bringing businesses closer together, adding new vendors to market, helping market managers find new vendors. There's so many opportunities available in the community that it's been just, it blows me away every day. I get a new message about something that it just makes me so happy.
That's great. So to answer John Hubley's question, it's not really just like a giant sales site. It's helping citizens because you could be a really small farm or you could be larger, and we're reducing food waste. And sustainability is about people, profit, and planet. So we don't want to be wasting the food resources because there goes your profit. And also that's negative on the planet because food waste causes a lot of carbon emissions. So I think...
And the people, because then they get to eat the food.
Yeah, it's helping people save money because they can get cheaper food. So I think this...
Yeah, and you can find a source in your county. You're reducing your mileage, not just on your own personal vehicle by shopping local, but you can also, reduce the number of trucks on the road because people aren't bringing massive quantities of goods from all over the country to us here in Florida. We are very capable of feeding ourselves.
Very good. I got a master's in global sustainability about a year ago, and one of the tasks was we had to calculate food mileage on a single product, and I chose mixed nuts from Aldi, like cashews and
peanuts
and walnuts and
pecans.
Blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I forgot the exact number, but it went around the world 12 times because cashews are not just sourced from one country. They're sourced from seven countries, and then all of those have to go to Ohio. And then those have to be packaged in Ohio, and then they sent to Illinois. And then
they salt them in Illinois.
Yeah, exactly. And then they get shipped to Tampa. So I am all for local food.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I really appreciate all of the text messages and emails that we are getting. My name is Kenny Coogan, and you are listening to the Sustainable Living Show on WMNF 88.5 Tampa. Today's guest is Jillian Childs, the creator of Florida Farm Finder. We're talking about bridging the gap between small farms and consumers. And if you have a question, or if you want to be part of the conversation, give us a call at 813-239-9663 or send us an email at dj@wmnf.org and I will read it on air.
And I have something interesting to me, and I never know how everybody feels about it, but how do you help the Florida farmers get answers about rules and laws? Do you do anything helpful with that, Jillian?
Sure. Well, discussion is our superpower, mm-hmm. and it is really great to be able to provide real life experience and hundreds of people who have actually gone through the cottage food process, people who bottle raw milk on the daily. We can bring you the people who actually do those things. You can learn firsthand from people. You can, start a mentorship program with one of our experts. We also have some of the, we're privileged enough to host people who have been intricate parts of writing some of the legislation regarding cottage law or raw milk. We have officials who have joined the group from Weights and Measures who constantly chime in with ways that farmers can be more aware of how their products are sold. We are a database of information, mm-hmm. and the fact that we can go over a sticky point or discuss the new changes for the cottage laws last year or have real-life conversations about how people are affected by those laws and how we can benefit or how they could be changed in the future. Mm-hmm. Just to collaborate on all that is just a huge resource.
That's wonderful. You don't really think that's going to happen when you start something like this, right? It just feeds off of one thing, feeds off the next thing. Oh, that's a perfect word for it. Feeds off. It just rolls into another thing and another thing. As soon as that gets highlighted, then you just, turn it into a whole nother deal. It's wonderful. I love it. I was wondering about, when you do... set up this and people are looking for a particular food, how do they have a little window up there on your site? Because I'm trying to think about if I was just somebody on the outside looking in to try to get into your site, how would I do that? Is there like a little window up there that they type in tomatoes or whatever, and then you comes up with five different people that had it that have posted within the recent time? Or tell me about that.
Yep, it's exactly a keyword search. That's the best way to use our group, especially because we have lots of information when we were researching, 24 hours a day, especially in the earliest days of the group. So, yes, we have a search box. Once you click join and you go up to the top right-hand corner of your app, or if it is on a computer, it is usually in the middle on the left-hand side. And if you are using the mobile version, it's usually in the middle, in the center of the page, right? The cover photo.
They make you look for it on each thing.
There is a search box in every Facebook group, and you can search by county, I feel, is the most productive
That's
way.
That's a great idea.
You type in Hillsborough, and all of the posts that I have shared with people from Hillsborough will show up. You can scroll and click like and follow along with all of your locals. Definitely the easiest way to do it, but if you're willing to drive and spend some time scrolling, you can do a keyword search for eggs, raw milk, a crop you're looking for. Strawberry U-picks are really starting to get a little bit more active now, so if you're looking for a U-pick close by, there's several options for that already. I know it's only early January, which is exciting. We're starting to see blueberry blooms and peach blooms, so we know they'll be coming up. We have tons of U-picks that participate as the season rolls in toward March and April, so mm-hmm. there's definitely lots of options. Just use the search feature, or, if you don't want to or it's too much, you can also just make a post in the group and say, hey, I live here. What's close by?
And what you got?
tons of people will chime in, yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested in organic, so, I mean, that's me, but I'm sure there's other people out there, too. Do you guys note that it is, or if it's not noted, you know it isn't, or how does that work?
Well, organic, you know, not everyone is considered to be certified organic. Not mm-hmm. every small farm has the ability to procure the licensing.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm. But many try to grow as naturally as possible, or will say something to the effect of beyond organic or something like that in their posts. So when you do a keyword search for organic, you can bring up several options. But it's also really good to just ask. If you see a post where you want more information about it, you can say, hey, do you guys grow organically? Do you, you know, the best part about our group is that you can ask questions directly from the farmers. You can learn more about what is grown every day and build that relationship from day one. So organic is definitely an option in Florida. There are several people that have pursued certification, and there are tons more that grow, you know, as naturally as intended. Mm-hmm. So, yes, lots of options.
What did you call that? Did you say beyond organic?
I've seen some people say yes.
That's a good key.
Or naturally grown.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's a good key to have. So naturally grown. I'm writing all this down. I need to call you and just get everything back. I am Annie Ellis, and you're listening to the Sustainable Living Show on WMNF 88.5 Tampa. Today's guest is Jillian Childs, the creator of Florida Farm Finder. It's a big deal. D-I-L-L. I love that. We are talking about bridging the gap between small farms and consumers. If you have a question for her, please give us a call at 813-239-9663 or send us an email at dj@wmnf.org and we'll read it on the air.
And on line one, we have one of our favorite co-hosts, Tanya Vidovic.
Yay, Tanya!
Hey, I thought I was going to have a couple of minutes. All right, well, it's Tanya Vidovic. I'm doing the Sustainable Living events today, so I have a few events for you all, so get your pencils ready.
Ready.
Florida Fun Coast Tiny Home Festival is coming up on January 29th and 30th at England Brothers Park in Pinellas Park. You can go to unitedtinyhouse.com. Tonight at 6 p.m., there's a outdoor telescope viewing activity, a stargazing party at the Dunedin Public Library, and that is at 223 Douglas Avenue in Dunedin. On February 2nd through 6th, there's the Florida Earth Skills Gathering, which is a annual skills gathering that focuses on primitive and sustainable living skills that is located in North Central Florida. I think that you have to sign up to get that address, and that's FloridaEarthSkills.org. February 12th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., there's the second annual Hope Spot Festival for cities, and it is the city's first zero-waste event with educational speakers and hand-on activities. Heartwood Preserve on January 22nd is having a women's clothing swap from noon to 4. That's in Tracy, Florida. And there's some awesome weekly farmers markets. There is Sweetwater Organic Farmers Market that is every Sunday from 12 to 3, but this Sunday, they have St. Pete Ferments doing a class on how to preserve vegetables using lacto-fermentation. And then in St. Pete, there's Sunshine Fresh Market at 1335 22nd Avenue South, and that's every Saturday from 12 to 5. So, and a ton of events to do, awesome stuff, and I posted it all on the Sustainable Living WMNF Facebook page.
You're the best, Tanya.
Oh, I know y'all are. All right, well, it's a great show so far, and have fun with the rest of the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tanya. All right, Jillian, you're back on the line.
Yes, I'm
Annie doesn't know this, but we lost Jillian for a minute, but she is back and she's ready.
Yay, right on time.
So, Jillian, so Florida Farm Finder, it's wonderful, but can you tell listeners what are some other easy ways people can bring local into their life?
Sure. You know, it's the simple swap will snowball is what I like to say, because my favorite thing is handmade soap is like the gateway drug for buying local. You're going to make one switch or one swap of one item in your household, and it's going to change your whole life. And then you're going to be like, okay, let's make another swap. So local meat is a great swap that you can make. I know a ton of people have questions about where their food is coming from right now, and switching from a grocery store brand to a local meat product is a great way to make a switch. Find your local farmers market, reach out to the roadside stands in your neighborhood, buy corn from the guy in the truck on the corner. It's really, really easy. There are so many opportunities to bring local into your life. You know, the joke that I like to say is that when you look at an advertisement for buying a house in Florida, it's always how many minutes from shopping and restaurants. And I want this to say how many minutes from local chicken.
I love that.
One day we will get there, but there are plenty of opportunities available. You can take classes. You can learn how to make candles. You can learn. There are just so many ways for you to bring local into your life, and the group definitely will help you do that. I was really excited to hear about all the events coming up. Mm-hmm. One of the coolest functions of our group is when you share an event into Florida Farm Finder, it sticks to our event tab, and you can scroll like a chronological number of events. And there's lots of classes, lots of markets, lots of pop-ups, lots of ways for you to interact with local farmers all over the state. Every weekend.
That's a very cool function.
That is. I'd like to know how to
very
do that.
Exciting. Yeah.
Jillian, can you summarize? I know we talked about it briefly, but can you just give listeners a little summary of the benefits of shopping local agriculture directly from the farmer over the convenience of supporting a chain store?
Sure. You know, the biggest part of the puzzle easily is the farmer's going to make more money when you go to them. You know, that's hands down, that is the biggest benefit, is the farmer makes more money when you shop direct. So, you know, if you have no other goals outside of supporting your local farmers and investing in your neighbors, shopping direct with a farmer is the best way to do that. But outside of that, you know, you get to learn more about the food that you eat. You can be a part of that process. You can feel better about what you are consuming, which is very important these days. You can have less mileage on the goods. You can't, the singular benefit of less mileage on the goods, less petroleum usage, less trucks on the road, less everything. So shopping local will help you there. You have the opportunity to build a relationship with the farmer. You may, you know, in the future, be able to barter for your good. Mm. You know, we
Trade
have a lot
soap.
Of people come in and say, hey, I am a subcontractor, or I need X amount of fencing. Can we swap for a half beef? And, you know, stuff like that really happens because you are not just walking into a store and saying, hey, thanks for the beef. It's more of a, hey, I'm really glad to see you. Let's fill up my freezer, you know. So our family personally has made the switch to local beef this year, last year, I should say, now that we're well into 2022. And that's probably been our biggest benefit thus far. We really, really appreciate being able to know what goes into our cow before we eat it.
And if you're filling your freezer, then you have that food sovereignty for
X amount of time.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Many yeah. months.
That's and you don't have to. Security. Huge. It's a huge emotional benefit. It really strengthens, reduces anxiety. It's having a full freezer and the fact that it's local on top of it is definitely something I recommend.
Yeah. You don't have to throw those elbows when you're at the grocery store.
Throw the elbows.
Or do those and the prices just keep going up.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, Jillian, we have about 9-10 minutes left, and for the rest of the show, I want to talk about what people can be growing in their urban homesteads and their patios. So in the intro, we mentioned that you're a backyard food forester. Can you tell us what are some of the crops that you're currently growing in Central Florida in January?
I am in 9B. So I've got a U.S. best peach tree that just started to bloom. And I've got scarlet plum. This is my first year growing that particular tree, wow. And it is very happy right now.
Starfruit. So. I'm amazed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've got starfruit. I've got a fine trunk starfruit that is cranking out all the time now. That one's almost a year old. I'm growing chaya. I'm growing, oh my goodness, lemongrass. I've got an herb bed over on the side yard there. I'm also doing a ton of annuals. I have strawberries in wash tubs and collard greens. I eat tons of collards. That's mm-hmm. a huge winter crop for me. There's probably 20 plants in my yard right now. But also one of my favorite people for a list, because I'm not really good at remembering large amounts of information. I'm good for short bursts.
Me either.
So I follow Grower Jim, and I really recommend that everybody does that, because Grower Jim has a great monthly list of stuff mm-hmm. you can plant on the first of every month, and he is my go-to guy for information on what I should plant and when. Mm-hmm.
Did you say that your starfruit tree is a year old and it's producing fruit?
That's remarkable.
It's the scarlet plum is a year old, and it's got tons of blooms on it now. I'll have to send you a picture. But my starfruit is 2 years old, and this is the first year we'll actually get consistent fruit from it.
Mine took 6 years to get it.
I was just going to say, mine took like 7 years.
Yeah, and then now it's crazy.
That's a shout out to Nick's Edibles in Osceola County, because his trees are amazing.
Well, that's interesting.
Jillian, do you also grow annuals?
I do, yes. I am a fan of sunflowers. You will find sunflowers all over my yard time of the year. I love herbs, so I have several different types of herbs going all the time. Lettuces, I'm trying to get into lettuces this year. We'll see. I'm really good with collard greens, but anything more tender than that has a tendency to burn up in my yard, so we'll see.
I feel like it's not cold enough for lettuce yet.
I got 40 growing right now, all different kinds. And, you know, the thing I'm finding is a little bit of the fungus. But you know what I do? I go out there and I just pinch that part off the leaf. And I just let the rest of the leaf grow, and it's going nuts. That's what I was going to actually ask you if you're doing lettuce, is because mine are going crazy. Yeah, they're doing
great. Yes, I've got some romaine out there that looks like it's starting to do something, which is exciting. And they were... I just put some more mulch down. I think they were a little bit heat stressed. So hopefully that'll keep the roots a little bit cooler. And I deal with spider mites year round. I'm not really, I struggle with them. So we'll see how long they stay down.
Annie, do you know what varieties of lettuce?
Oh, God. I had I got them from somebody, I can't even tell you, because they don't sell their starts, and they sell me some. So there's like a deer's tongue, there's the red curly, there's several different buttercress, there's some romaines. I mean, I have like really a lot of varieties, and it's really pretty. You know, that's the one thing you were talking about. You're in a neighborhood, I'm guessing, like I am. And
yeah, very urban.
You know, I am too, and I'm in Hyde Park area, so it needs to remain pretty. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When you live in an area and your neighbors are out there, you don't want to irritate them by having an ugly, farm. I mean, not that I love farms, but it has to look a certain way to fit into a neighborhood. But, you know, there's another thing I wanted to talk about is, like, you know, you were talking about you get to meet the farmers eventually sometimes. And that's one of my favorite things, is to actually make a little road trip, go to the farm, meet the farmer, see what they're growing, and then talk to them about where they're getting their seeds or their starts or whatever. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that, like, I don't buy food anymore that I don't know who grew it at all. And so I know who is growing my eggs. I know how they treat their chickens. I know if I'm going to buy some meat, I know the person that raised that animal. And I know that they had a lovely life until the last minute.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's
so
very important.
It is to me. It makes me feel better about what I'm eating. I know what it is, and I feel better about them emotionally somehow.
No, that's true. It's very important to have that kind of relationship, because if you have, if you have faith in what you're putting inside your body, that's only going to strengthen the relationship between you and the farmer. So,
and the world.
Yes, absolutely. And, you'll never meet a more generous or open or genuine person than someone who is, selling you something that they grew with their own two hands.
Yeah.
So, the community behind it is fantastic. And I hope that everyone else in Florida wants to be like you, because
that is. Be like Annie.
Knowing what you do.
You might get some argument on that. But at least that part, right?
Annie, do you find it time-consuming or difficult to be able to know where all your food comes from?
No, I don't, because I've started to learn who they are, where they are, and what days to do it. That's the thing. It's like I'm prepared. So I know, well, for instance, I go over to Jim's house on Tuesday and pick up my Tasty Tuesday box of Farmer Fresh stuff that he just picked, you know, 6 hours before I pick it up.
And oh, that Freedom Farm?
Yeah, at his house. Love him. And I learned. And that's the other thing, too, is when you're there, like, I'm talking to these guys, so I'm picking their brains about all the wonderful things they're doing and how they're doing it. Like, you know, lettuces, I mean, that's what he's growing a ton of. So you know how to do what he's doing. And so you can bring that home with you. So it's not just the product. You bring the knowledge. You know,
many are willing to teach, and many are willing to talk.
Yeah,
there are a lot of people who just want to sit there and tell you about their cabbage.
And I'm interested.
I was going to say, and we want to listen.
I do. Yeah.
Exactly.
Funny.
So we mentioned a few winter crops. So Jillian, can we maybe hear a list of like your top five things? Top five annuals to grow in January?
Oh, man. Top five for me right now. I love strawberries. I love strawberry season. I put them in the ground in October, though. So, you know, fear of missing out on strawberries. I'm sorry.
And then they're ready when?
Yeah, the greens.
Pretty soon.
Winter for me just means greens. I grow all of the collards I can. I have a couple of different varieties out there, and they're just so easy. I just put them in the ground and remember to water them occasionally. I tried garlic this year for the first time, which has been fun. I am a new garlic grower, so we'll see how that goes. A sugar snap peas. That's a new one for me because I've never really had success with them before. I thought I had wilt in my yard, but I guess I don't, because this crop is doing better than
the last
three times
I've tried. Oh, I want to get the seed. I want to know where you got the seeds from, because mine are not
doing well. So definitely a bonus for the sugar snap this year. What else do I have out there now that I absolutely love?
I just put sugar snap peas in about less than 7 days ago, and all of them are about an inch tall right now.
Okay. Yeah.
Gangbusters. That's exactly what I am experiencing as well. They like the really consistent weather.
Yeah, I think they're right, because I think I put mine in too early. It's probably what it was, too hot. So
it is still warm.
Very warm. Yeah, I'm pretending it's not.
All right, so sugar snap peas, leafy vegetables. Jillian, how can listeners learn more about Florida Farm Finder?
Oh, join us. Welcome to the group. Yep. So go to Facebook and you can search for Florida Big Dill if writing out the whole group name is too hard. Like our Facebook page. You can even visit our website and learn more about other things we do, because we have a crate program where we actually forward small business goods all over the state, or all over the nation, I should say, where we interact with our businesses in that way. Visit our website, floridafarmfinder.com. Join us on Facebook. Send me a friend request.
Very good.
I'm more than happy to tell you more.
You're a big deal, D-I-L-L.
Jillian?
And I like to say that the community is a big deal.
Very good. Jillian, you're a wonderful guest.
Yes.
And we want to thank Patty for working the boards. Stick around for the next hour to hear WMNF Tampa's Monday Music with Flea. If you want to hear more public interest programming, you can switch over to WMNF's HD3 channel, The Source, to listen to today's Tom Hartman Show live. Tune in next Monday morning at 11 for the next Sustainable Living Show, where we will have guest hosts Mary and Arlene. Follow our Facebook page, Sustainable Living WMNF, to stay in the loop. I am Kenny Coogan.
And I'm Annie Ellis. Remember, if you're looking for someone to save the world, look in the mirror. Bye.
Bye, everyone.